Many years ago, my Uncle Jack was on a Fulbright scholarship in France. And so while he was there, he did a lot of work on our family tree. And it was really interesting to me. And it's a sort of a treasured, I don't know how many pages there were. There was a book form almost of our family tree. And it has always been interesting to me. And I bet maybe for you, too, looking into your ancestry, it's an interesting hobby. Today, we're going to talk about what's available to help you with our guest, Lori Bessler, back once again with us. She's reference librarian at the Wisconsin Historical Society. In the studio today to give you some tips for starting your family history research, tell you where some upcoming genealogy workshops are going to be held at the Wisconsin Historical Society, actually. We'll talk about when and what they are all about. And certainly we're looking forward to hearing from you, your experiences exploring your family tree. What questions do you have about research? The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page, and our Facebook page title is The Larry Mehler Show. And Lori Bessler, welcome back.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Really great to have you back. Remind us what the Wisconsin Historical Society has to offer people trying to research their family tree.
Oh, well, we have a lot.
Yeah,
our scope is all of the United States and Canada. So if you, and we have experts on our staff who can help you even when you get over the ocean to the homeland. So we know a lot of the materials that we do have are in the stacks, on pamphlets, on microfilm. We also have quite a bit on our website as well. And so I think the combination of the collections, the depths of the collections, family histories, local histories, city directories, naturalization records, court records, and just about anything we have the ability to make access to. And so, you know, it's a great resource with collections. And then, as I mentioned, our staff is phenomenal. We've been with the collections a very long time. And all of us have done some genealogy. I've done over 40 years myself. So,
yeah. You've got a lot of research. And you've done your own. I mean, you've worked a lot on your own. So you've got that practical experience.
Exactly, yes, yeah. And helping everybody every day. I've got the best job in the world, if I have to say so myself. I get to tell stories, I get to hear stories, and find resources for people, so it's great.
And you have a workshop coming up in December. We can talk about that for a minute. That will help people use the Historical Society's archives.
Yes, it's actually for the library and the archives, and preserving materials that you can bring in and talk to specialists. So that you can bring a photograph, and our specialists will meet with you and talk to you about how to preserve that photo, how to clean up the photo, how to store materials, all of that as well. And so we'll have lectures. We'll have treasures out too for people to be able to come and view in the library and in the archives. Being that the depth of the collection is so deep, it's a really great honor for us to pull out some of the great treasures we have and for people to be really close to them, you know. So
what would be an example of one of those treasures?
Some of the materials that we have ancient, not ancient, we have really old maps, and those are really awesome to look at. The photograph collection that we have, for almost any community, we have some kind of photo. And so having those collections out. The Draper manuscripts is one of our jewels, and that is talking mostly about Trans-Allegheny history and genealogy. And so having some of those materials out, those kinds of things are really cool to be next to actually see. And they're originals. They're not copies of things.
Yeah.
So they're great.
Well, you mentioned photos. I think Eric in Wisconsin Dells has something relating to that. Eric, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I have a quick story, and then I have a question. My story is I grew up in California, but I've been here 10 years in Wisconsin. I found out recently my great-great-grandfather settled in Wisconsin from Norway prior to moving to California, and I started doing some research. And so 2 weeks ago, I accidentally stumbled across the grave of my great-great-great-grandparents. Long story short, in a small unmarked cemetery, and I just heard their names 3 days before. The only reason I even knew that they existed. But so we have a lot of family photographs from their children, but I wouldn't know how to get a hold of those people after it split off from my grandfather.
So yeah, that is, we get that question quite often, is how do you find a good home for things like photos or letters and such? And so a couple of ideas. One is that it is possible for me to help you identify the current generations of different lines. And so it is possible to hunt down some of those family members. Another idea is to deposit those into local historical societies or state historical societies, wherever they're most applicable. So if they're from the time in California, you may consider contacting California State Archives, or better yet, the community archives that are in the communities that these photos are you know, reflecting. Otherwise, like I said, if you wanted to contact me so I can help you find those current generations, it's very easy. We have a phone number, 608-264-6535, or you can email asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org. And I'd love to help you try and find out more in both of those angles.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yep.
So that was 608-264-6535?
Correct.
All right. And I think we have a link to the Wisconsin Historical Society on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Jill says, of course we do. So you can get in touch with Lori Bessler that way as well. Grace in Pleasant Prairie has a question. Hi, Grace.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Great. I'm looking to know what graduate degree is best to get if you want to be able to make doing genealogy type work or looking into people's histories your profession.
Okay, so a couple of ideas. One is getting a history degree would give you a really good base for understanding where these people are coming from and the era and everything. The second one is a library degree through the UW or through UW-Milwaukee. They have wonderful programs for librarianship and working specifically in archives as well. And so those are a couple of ideas. You don't need a graduate degree to do genealogical research for people. There are a lot of organizations like the Association for Professional Genealogists. There's the Board for Certification, which is a national level board that has you go through different certifications that would help you identify how to do this as a profession. And so if you do want to know more about those, as well as other class structures that are out there, programs, there's some in Canada, there's many in the United States, then just email me at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org, and I can let you know the different contact people to contact.
Super. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You know, we had an open line where people could call and ask, you know, tell me what they wanted to have for a radio show. And I think three different people mentioned that they were having issues looking into Native American family histories. And what can you tell us about that?
Right. So Native American, American Indian. One of the main things that I always tell people is that it's really important to stay true to your paper trail for the people you're researching, and let that Native American or American Indian story come out from that. And so start with the current generations going back using traditional documents like censuses and birth, marriage, and death records. Those all are core to understanding more about your actual connection that could be American Indian. So that's one idea. Another is to identify the tribe is really important as well, because tribal papers are, the context with the different tribes is really going to be important as well. The United States government has kept track of Native American or American Indian populations. And so you have Indian census rolls, that's what it is, Indian census rolls, as well as of a lot of other documentation that comes out of the National Archives that was created around in the 19th century is what we're usually aiming toward. So there's a lot of different places to look for these. The federal government is very important in this. The state governments kept track, and then also the tribes. And so if you have specific ideas, specific questions about certain regions and everything, that's another thing to contact us about, because we'll have people who can help us identify where are those records. So,
Okay.
Definitely a question we can take.
Susan in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I have a question. I'm a longtime genealogist, and in the early 90s, I did about 12 hours worth of oral histories on my oldest ancestors, the oldest living ancestors, and I'm trying to figure out how to transcribe the audio to digital. What's the best way of doing it? My problem with some of the stuff online is it only works for small amounts of time.
I see. Okay, so one of the things that we do, like I mentioned, we have a great staff, and the staff handles a lot of different issues about genealogy, but also just technology issues that come up. So I would say you want to email us so that I can get you in touch with the staff, the part of our staff who handles these kinds of audio tape conversions. It wouldn't be that we would be doing the conversions for you, but we know the best companies that can be doing this with you. Also, the Madison Public Library. They do have a cart, and I just tried this out recently. They have a technology type of cart at the Madison Public Library down at the main library where you can actually bring in that kind of technology, and they can show you how to use their technology to convert this stuff to digital. I did this with slides.
Oh.
It was awesome, yeah. Great. So that's a great service, and it's free.
That sounds wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have more callers coming up online. I know you have some other workshops coming up. There's one on Swedish genealogy.
Yes, it's wonderful. We're able to be part of a tour. There are three genealogical researchers out of Sweden coming to the United States, and we're one of their stops. And so it's a great opportunity if you have any Swedish connections. Then it's a great opportunity to have a full day, have one-to-one consultations, and listen to really great lectures. And so, great opportunity.
And so that's on September 23rd.
Correct. And it's $30. You get 10% off if you're a member of Wisconsin Historical Society or the Wisconsin State Genealogical Society. And we feed you lunch.
Oh,
it's an awesome deal.
For 30 bucks?
You bet.
That is a pretty good deal. It's always a good deal when Lori Bessler comes by to visit with us. She's the reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society. And again, you can join in. Give a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Back with Lori right after this look at the news. Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're exploring the roots of your family tree today with Lori Bessler, reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Let's go to Sally in Burlington. Sally, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you, Larry and Lori. My question is, I met a person recently who, she doesn't have a lot of money, but she's on the poorer side, but she is looking for family, and she was adopted, and she has never known any blood family, and she wants to find them, someone, but she doesn't know where to go, how to get started, and being that she doesn't have a lot of money, I wondered, is there anything provided to help someone like that?
Is she able to come in and talk to someone at the Historical Society, or is she kind of homebound?
No, she's not homebound. She possibly could do that.
Okay, or by phone. I take phone consultations, too.
But you do?
Oh, certainly. And it's free, so it's not an issue of money. So
okay.
What I usually do is I'll talk out the situation, and a lot of people start by saying, I really don't know very much, and then I ask them more questions, and they realize how much they know, So which is handy in those cases of adoptees. We do have a workshop coming up in November with Mary Eberle, who specializes in DNA and using DNA results to deal with adoption and unknown parentage. And so it is a possibility. There is that $30 fee for the day. And so that's something to consider. But, yeah, I would suggest she call us. And so if she wants to call the 608-264-6535 and ask to talk to me, then we can set up an appointment to talk either in person or by phone.
Okay, that sounds really good. There was the reason I got started where I work, she came in, and we just somehow got started talking about it, I think because there was another person that looked like her, and I asked her if there was a connection. I said, And we just started talking. She said, no. She said, I don't have any family. And I said, well, you really look like this woman I saw. Well, then I pursued about the other woman and found out she recently died from her husband. I talked to him.
Oh.
And I said, well, to me, it almost looked like I saw a resemblance. But, you know, a lot of people have some resemblances in that. But it just made me wonder if it was that close of a thing where you never know.
Right. And, there are more states that have opened up some of their records, too. So we just need to find out more details about her case.
Okay, and I'll have her call you. Thank you so much. What a wonderful thing you're doing.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. It is a wonderful thing. Jan in Fontana, it's your turn next. Hi, Jan.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I understand that many years ago, probably in the 70s, my great aunts did research on our family so that they could become members of the Daughters of American Revolution, which they were eventually able to do. I believe that those records are available somehow, somewhere, but I have no idea how to get a hold of them. I'd love to have a copy of them. Can you give me some direction on that?
Yes, a little bit of direction. What we have at the Historical Society are the lineage books. And so I would start with that because then you have ancestor numbers and descendant numbers or patriot numbers too. So that's how we can identify which patriot are we talking about and possibly down to the name of the person who submitted the request. Also, DAR.org is their website, I believe. So you could contact the DAR. There are DAR chapters across the state. And so I can help you identify who with what chapter you would contact for your local DAR chapter.
Okay, that's great. I will give you a call. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And Alicia in Spring Green, you're next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. about a year ago, I started researching our family tree. I'm like all, you know, everybody. And I was looking at my my grandparents, and they lived in Marshalltown, Iowa at the time. And I looked at the 1940 census, and lo and behold, there was a person named Henry who was supposed to be, he would be an uncle of mine. And after that, there is no record of him whatsoever. It's like he just disappeared. So I thought it was weird because, you know, I don't see how, if somebody's doing the census, if a child just wandered in, you know, from another family, I didn't see how they could be like, oh, well, we'll put you down to this family, you know. So he would have been four at the time.
Oh, four.
And then my Uncle Wallace, who was six at the time, he's still alive, and my mother was 10, and she's no longer with us. And I asked my uncle, and he said he doesn't know a thing. So I just think, I don't know what to, and I've called various places in Iowa, and they're so close-mouthed about, you know, any, like, institutions or anything like that. I can't get a thing.
Okay, so if he's 4 years old, he could have died as a child.
Right.
I would have thought, well, your mom, you weren't able to ask her that question, but your uncle was how old when he was in the census, the same census?
Four.
Well, that was your uncle you found. How old was the other uncle that you asked?
Six.
Okay, mm-hmm. So he would have, an older
he
child,
would've...
you would have thought he would have remembered having a...
Right.
So I guess I would go local. I would contact the county courthouse, the Register of Deeds, or the equivalent in Iowa, mm-hmm. to find out if they have a death record of that child. 1950 census is not released yet. And so that won't get released until 2022, I think, 2022. So those are the immediate answers I would have. Mm-hmm. I would love to look at that census and see if I see any other clues. Did the family stay in Marshalltown?
Yes, they did.
Okay, well, so somebody has some kind of story about that child. The cemetery records in the area, had you contact any cemeteries?
Well, I was doing all this through Ancestry.com, and I just, you know, I just got
very,
nowhere.
Yeah, Ancestry is wonderful in lots of ways, mind you. It's wonderful. Family Search, same thing. Neither one of those are great for censuses. Now, Ancestry does own Find a Grave, which is really good for censuses, but it's also only volunteer-based. So when a volunteer has put the information into Find a Grave, that's great.
Yeah.
But they don't have everybody listed. And so the death record possibility and a cemetery would be interesting to look at. And both of those, you may have to work with a local public library or a local historical society. Mm-hmm. A local genealogical society will have researchers who are in the area and can, you know, check out some of these records as well. If you want to work with me on it, I can look at the census page and see what other ideas I can come up with.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Yeah, just email me at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org, and if you can tell me the name of the family and everything as to where I can find it, and I'll look it up on Ancestry as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that'd be great.
And someone else wondered, again, if you would repeat the phone number. It's 608-264-6535, right? 608-264-6535. All right. Leisha, thank you. Tom in Madison, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Good afternoon. I had two questions. Possibly one has been answered. I was wondering about the various genealogy DNA testing that's available, what you might think of it.
Okay, well, there's different purposes. When you go for DNA testing, I think I usually tell people, just think of why you want to do the DNA testing. Is it just plain curiosity of what different countries you may come from? Is it that you're trying to find adoptive situations or connecting to family members? That's one of the reasons I did it. Ancestry DNA does a very simple kind of test. It's autosomal, and so it covers both areas, but doesn't go as deep as some of the others. Family Tree DNA, same kind of situation. MyHeritage, I believe, does DNA testing now. So there are more companies out there. 23andMe, if you have interest in health issues, they are back they're able to give you some ideas of possibilities of getting things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And so they're able to include that in their results. So it is a bit more expensive, but 23andMe is also a great one. I think Henry Louis Gates, who does the Finding Your Roots program, he usually has noted 23andMe in the testing he's done for various people. The results, it's not just look at the page and understand all the results. It's a very scientific kind of approach to genealogy. And I really suggest taking workshops that can explain how you use the results to understand, number one, where you came from, but then also to understand how you make connections to other people. One of the reasons I've always wanted to make connections to distant cousins is because they may have the photos or the letters or the other documents that stayed with the family but then went down their line instead of mine. And so that's the one reason I did the DNA. It was fascinating. I had both my daughters do it. It's really cool.
Okay. And then the second question was that through family documents being passed down and so forth, I have some original letters from soldiers in the Civil War written to their home in De Pere, Wisconsin. And I question my keeping it in my personal files. Is there a better way that those could be kept for whatever purpose?
Oh, definitely. So you have, number one, you can contact us. We have a tremendous collection, and we preserve things to the best ability. So we have lots and lots of Civil War letters and letters from other eras as well. So talking to one of our archivists would be a good idea. If you want to email me, then I can put you in touch with the correct staff member who can work with you on the possible donation of those letters.
Okay. All right. Those were my two questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much again for calling. And again, to contact you via email.
AskLibrary@WisconsinHistory.org.
AskLibrary@WisconsinHistory.org. All right. There we go. Rebecca in Monroe, it's your turn. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to offer a few little tidbits that I found helpful. And I've been doing it since 2004, and I've literally been locked in vaults in county courthouses in Kentucky and just digging one page at a time through records. And then the most interesting one was my second cousin, she got the Civil War records from my great-great-grandfather, and in there were pages and pages of documents where my great-great-grandmother was trying to get her pension. And in all these affidavits were little clues. And one of the clues was that my great-great-grandfather was buried in a cemetery, a family cemetery in Julian, Kentucky. But when I went to look for that cemetery, I couldn't find it anywhere. And so someone told me that sometimes it's just on somebody's family farm. So we went looking, and we stopped on any person that was outside. We near Julian, Kentucky, we stopped and talked to, and we found it. And we went through the country with this guy and that we didn't know, but and we got to this old cemetery. And when I talked to the historian, they thought that it was a slave cemetery, but it was my family had lived there and were tenant farmers and just weren't able to have enough money to buy tombstones for them.
Sure. Oh, that's wonderful.
So, we did take pictures. We spent 2 or 3 hours out there just kind of taking pictures of everything. And
The guy
remembered, he was in his 60s at the time, and he remembered playing out there as a kid. And at that time, there were little shacks where they had lived, and it was pretty interesting.
Oh.
That's wonderful.
Sounds like Rebecca was very persistent.
Mm-hmm. Persistence is where you get farther.
Yeah, that's for sure. Thanks so much for sharing that with us, Rebecca. I appreciate it. Yeah.
You're welcome. Keep on doing it. It's great.
All right. Well, let's go to Fred in Menominee. Fred, hello to you.
Well, hello, Larry. Listen to you as frequently as I can. But anyhow, the woman who had, who wondered how to get her oral tapes of history from the past into the computer, all she needs to do is go to a computer store, Computerland or somebody like that. I have an ION Tape Express tape to MP3 converter. And you just put the tape in there, plug it into your computer, it reads the tape, converts it to an MP3 format, which the computers can read, and puts it in a file on your computer. And then once it's there as an MP3, if you want to put it on a disk or a whatever, you can do it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, yep. There are a lot of tools out there, and certainly talking to techie people who are at the stores is definitely a way to go.
Yeah. Thank you, Fred.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And let's see, Luke emailed to ask if there are any resources to access records in Poland.
Oh, there definitely is. You know what is it? There's a wonderful group, the Genealogical Society. No. What is it? Polish Genealogical Society out of Chicago. And I see them at the conferences up in Wisconsin quite a lot. The Wisconsin State Genealogical Society has conferences every fall and every spring, and they have the speakers, and they have booths of people. And this group in Chicago is very active. There's a lot of Polish records online in a variety of places. One of them is FamilySearch.org, where they've digitized, I've been told, 65% of their collection is now digitized. And this collection is beyond any other institution for genealogical records. Things that are at churches and civil court records and things like that from around the world, not just the United States, of course. And so there are different materials to find. What I can do is, if you contact me, then I can talk to you more specific about the areas in Poland and then be able to direct you as to where to go next.
Gail in Milwaukee is frustrated that all the records she needs have been turned over to Ancestry.com and she can't afford to buy the service.
You know what is that? I don't believe all of them have been sold. Ancestry Library Ancestry has a an edition called Ancestry Library Edition. You can go to most public libraries and use that for free. And what that includes is a big portion of the big ticket items like passenger lists, naturalization records, censuses, indexes to vital records. You know, most of vital records that are around in the United States are not digitized. They're not available online. There's a variety of other websites to try. Deathindexes.com is a website where you can go and find out what indexes are out there for deaths. You could also do the same for births and marriages. There are a lot of other websites, and there are a lot of records in institutions. So it is possible, Gail, if you want, if you were to contact me, then I can help you come up with a research plan and help identify where to go. And for me, especially on a low budget, I find the cheapest ways to do this, believe me. So there are ways.
In the same vein, Bob in Milwaukee wondering where he can find records of immigrants from Sicily. His ancestors changed their name, and he's having problems researching them.
Yeah, the name change can be kind of frustrating. But looking at the present and going back through the past in that direction is really key when you're dealing with name changes. Document where what the name goes by each time you find a new record and identify it. I would put it in a timeline to say it, the name changed between this time period. I don't know how it changed. A civil court case or a civil court record could show a name change. It could be that the family just decided to go by a different name and just went that way, you know? So there's trying to find that paper trail is really important. Again, with Sicily, there are different institutions to contact as well. This last spring, we had a workshop with Dr. John Coletta from Washington, D.C., and he talked about Italian records. And he has a wonderful book out that does talk about what institutions have what records and what information is found on those records. So I would encourage you to look up Dr. John Coletta, C-O-L-L-E-T-T-A. But if you want to, also contact me, and I'll help you find other places to look.
And Mary and Knowlton, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Larry. My mother has done genealogy research for 40 years, way before the internet. She's been to Salt Lake City and so on, you know, done all the microfilm. She's got 33 three-ring binders of information. And my mother's 99. So pretty soon I'm going to have to do something with all those binders of information. And I was adopted, so the more recent family is interesting to me, but not all the rest of the 33 three-ring binders. But somebody must be interested in those, and I'm wondering if you have an idea of how people can pass that information on.
Well, number one, always think about the other people in the family that could be into this as well and see if they are interested in inheriting that kind of information. Also, the Allen County Public Library, I just recently learned about this, but they, in Allen County Public Library in Indiana, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, they actually take binders like this and they will take the information and create books from them. And so you might want to contact them. They're the closest library I know of who's going to take this on. Also, local historical societies would love, they often have told me they love to get these collections, and it's nice because they'll make that accessible to anybody who comes into their facility to find those families. A larger institution like the Wisconsin Historical Society, we don't take a lot of those collections anymore. The collection is massive, and so we had to have some lines drawn. But we can certainly help you identify how to take that information and put them into books. There are a lot of self-publishing companies out there that make it very easy so that if you read through the story, you can tell the story from the research your mother did.
Oh, very, very cool. Thank you so much for calling, Mary. And here we are about out of time. So let's get, there are a lot of people who probably want to talk to you yet. So the website to go to is?
WisconsinHistory.org. That's our website. You can email me at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org. And certainly give us a call, 608-264-6535. I do hour-long consultations with people to talk about any of these topics that have come up. There's a lot more for me to explain that can be explained in a radio show.
Well, Lori, it's always a pleasure. You'll come back and be with us again, I hope.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, she will be back. Lori Bessler, reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society. And we've got links on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show to all the numbers and so forth that she just mentioned. So you can go there as well. Tomorrow we'll talk with the author of a new children's book that tells the story of a blind lamb. Stay with us.